Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And together we are not experts.
We're not, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
We are. And I want to tell you, I took a cooking class on Saturday with my husband.
Okay.
As like a little date night, which was so much fun, actually. I really loved it. Really enjoyed it. Shout out to Hip Cooks, where we took the class.
Okay.
But I just had an observation, which is how weird it is when you are in these situations with strangers for a couple hours and you form like a really weird bond and then you're like, bye, see you later, and you never see them again.
Yes.
When you sit next to somebody on a plane.
Yes.
You know those weird relationships? Like you're in this cooking class. We have to eat our meal all together. Like we're all like making the food and chatting and everyone's kind of like getting to know each other. And then it's just like, well, bye now. I don't know. I just find those experiences so strange.
You know, it's funny you say that because do you remember like, I would say anywhere from like 15 or maybe more, like, yeah, like 16 to 10 years ago, let's say.
Okay. Okay. 16,
if you like 10. Met someone, even just like in a cooking class, you would like add them on Facebook or they would add you on Facebook. Does this like resonate at all?
Yes. Okay. You'd meet somebody like in passing and then the next day you get a Facebook friend request.
Yes. So, and that does, like, no one does that anymore. Like, maybe you start following them on Instagram, but it's like not, it's not really a thing anymore.
That's such a good point. No, but you're so right. That is really fascinating. I haven't thought about that in a while.
So in my Facebook feed are like, there's like a guy I did a surf camp with in the Dominican Republic in 2011. But I have seen his whole journey with like meeting his wife, like,
just
all that. People I met in Tulum in 2008, again, knew them for 1 week. And like now I know their lives because we've been Facebook friends for 16 years. I recently sent a screen grab of the instructor from my bikini boot camp who I'm Facebook friends with to the friend that I went on that trip with and was like, remember this guy? And she was like, oh yeah. Like I've like followed his whole like paleo journey. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, these random people.
Whoa.
Who I've never seen again, literally never seen again. I knew them for a few days 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we are somehow linked forever.
Wow. That is, you know what? That is really fascinating. And the fact that that doesn't still happen.
Yeah.
Like you're not still acquiring new acquaintances you'll never see again.
No. And in fact, like there's people I feel pretty close with. Like most of my mom friends. I'm not Facebook. Like most of my IRL mom friends, I'm not Facebook friends with. I have like a Facebook mom group of people, but they were people I mostly met through the Facebook mom group. The people who are like Henry's friends' parents, like we're not Facebook friends.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I am Facebook friends.
But your kids are like, older.
Yes, yes. Well, I also feel like once you get to, although in preschool, I became Facebook friends with some. But you know what? At the first preschool my daughter went to, no. I'm not Facebook friends with most of those parents. I kind of wish I was too, because now I want to see what their kids look like. It's like 13 and 14 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other like weird part of the journey is you become like there's like some moms I met in like a mom group in Brooklyn, and then we moved when Eleanor was 10 months. So I never saw them again, but I like still am Facebook friends with them. So I still kind of see, right, like, what have you been doing for the last 13 yes. years? How are your kids?
It's like, it's really weird. Like I'm just like looking at my feed right now. I want to see if anyone comes up who is like one of those random people. I mean, it is mostly like my groups. And that's the other thing. People don't post a lot to Facebook just like in like on their feeds anymore. It's like all in groups.
I know. It's kind of sad.
But yeah, every time I see someone like that, I'm like, "Oh yeah, you."
Can you think of like the most random person that you've been following along on their journey, whether it's like a Facebook friend or also like someone you followed on like Tumblr 15 years ago who you still follow? Like, do you have anybody like that?
Yes. I mean like one of them,
a lot of people like that.
One of them is the like one of the guys I just mentioned from surf camp in the Dominican Republic. He was like, I must have been I was in my early 30s. He was probably 20 and okay. He was there with his brother.
Okay.
They were Canadian. We're Facebook friends. Why? You know, because that was just like what you did. It's these people that I met on trips mostly. Like again, like 15 years ago. There's also like a mom in Texas who like I've seen her kids grow up, but I only know her because we were on this trip in Tulum in 2008. So like she had a very young child like at the time. Now her kids like in their 20s, you know. It's like, but I don't know her. And like those people you don't add on Facebook anymore. You know what I mean?
No, we don't do the random Facebook ads anymore. No. Or like, remember we were all poking each other on Facebook early on?
Ugh, I was never into the poking. I gotta say, I was not into the poking.
There's a person who I have been following since Tumblr in 2007. I have followed this woman through her wedding, moving to San Francisco, having a kid, moving back to the East Coast, having two more kids. I have followed this woman's entire adult life.
Wow.
She does not know who I am. We've never met, but she was like a real kind of like early Tumblr person. And I just followed her blog or whatever, her Tumblr, whatever you called them. And now I'm still there. Her kid's like 14, but I was there like for the wedding.
Wow.
And I like look at her and her husband. I'm like, you know, wow, we're all getting old. We're all getting old, guys. They don't know I exist. But yeah. And she's not like an influencer. Like she has 7,000, not only, but she has 7,000 Instagram followers. So it's not like she's got 100,000 Instagram followers. She's essentially a regular person who was kind of a Tumblr influencer.
Was she big on Tumblr?
I bet she was. Yes. Okay. I think a lot of people probably followed her on Tumblr.
That makes sense. Fascinating.
It's a little strange. But yes, I do know what you mean though. The like a person, yes. Like I bet like 15, 10 or 10 years ago, I would have like followed or like found at least one of these people from this cooking class.
Right. And added them on Facebook.
Yes. I would have followed their lives for 10
right,
years.
Right. And you're like, I don't actually know this person, but we had fun one night.
Yeah. One night for 3 hours, we made a flank steak.
Yeah.
And now I'm invested in their lives. But this is what like throws me for social media too. And like, I'm not saying anything new or exciting, but I really, and I've been thinking about this a lot as I try to spend less time on social media, is that I really do think it prevents me from like genuinely catching up with people because you're catching up via social media. You know, like there's even whether this is like an acquaintance or like one of my closest friends, you know, like my best friend just got a new puppy. And it's like, I'm following the puppy on social media. So I haven't really texted to be like, how's the puppy? And I do think it like creates a little bit of a wedge because we get the information without seeking it out from them.
That's interesting.
So I'm trying to be, as I try to spend less time on social media, I'm trying to remember like, you have to actually kind of like forge those, the relationships and also like ask questions because it's not everybody's just giving us the info online.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
Huh. Food for thought. Food for
also,
thought.
Also, have you ever thought about this?
I can't wait to hear what this is.
Again,
yes?
It's not groundbreaking.
Okay.
What if somebody has that relationship with you? Like, what if someone...
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm sure all
of these...
following
your life.
Yes, I'm sure all of these years. People... The best is when I sometimes will get, like... messages from these people being like, hey, like it's always like I'm writing a novel or you know, it's like some, they're like, oh, this person, I remember this person. I actually got one of those. Oh my God, I'm just remembering this now. I got an Instagram DM from someone who was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but like we were in Cabo, we were on a yoga retreat in Cabo together in 2012 and her Instagram hand, like her name wasn't like her real name and her picture, like I was like, what is your name? And then she told me and I was like, oh yeah, like I sort of remember you, you know what
oh,
I mean,
goodness. Like, yeah.
But I will tell you another funny thing that has happened, which is that people I met pre-Facebook on random trips or whatever, because I used to like go on more trips.
I know you went on a lot of trips, a lot of retreats.
Found me. Like I did a summer abroad program when I was in grad school in Berlin.
Ooh.
And one of my friends from that class found me. And I was like, oh yeah, we went to like a naked pool together once.
Wait a second, hold on. I'm gonna need this story. You went to a naked pool in Berlin?
Yeah,
go on.
I mean,
if you feel like sharing.
It was like one of the, it was not it was not a sexy experience.
Okay.
There were just a lot of like naked people and
in a pool
swimming about.
It wasn't like a hot spring or
no,
it was
no,
just
no,
like you're
no,
at the
no,
Y, but everybody's
no.
naked.
I'm going to try and find it. Liquid Drum. Could this be it?
Liquid Pool Berlin. Let's Google and see. Yes, they are naked. What is this? Liquid Rom. Is this it?
I don't think this was it. It was not this. Okay. This looks like a rave. No, this was not it. I mean, or maybe it turned into this, but it was not, this was not it. I mean, I feel like in Germany, there's more nudity.
Than America?
We
are never nudes over here.
Yeah, we are never nudes over here. I don't know. I don't.
Okay, so wait a second. Sorry, yes. Just packing up. Set the scene. You and a friend were like, let's go to the nude pools. And then you went and just like swam around.
Well,
and that was,
I mean,
it's not
okay,
sexual.
So like,
it's just like,
it's not sexual. It's then, like going to, It's like going to a Korean spa here, except it was co-ed.
Oh, wow. So with a pool, it wasn't, was it like dipping pools or was it like a big, just
it wasn't
a big swimming
like
pool?
Swimming, it wasn't like swimming laps.
Like a soaking kind of thing. Bouncing around kind maybe. Of,
yeah.
I'm now, this is where I am now. I'm now on a website where I'm looking, it's where I'm looking for Berlin's best. They call it FKK, which is Freikorpskultur. And that is their nudist culture. Did I say that right?
That's definitely how it's pronounced.
Okay. Here, I'm going to send you the link and then you can say it in German. So it sounds like this is kind of a part of German culture. It's like
yes,
nudism
this is
actually...
This is what I'm saying.
Yes. Okay. That's really cool. I didn't know that about Germans. I didn't know that they were just down to naked swim.
Well, now I'm on naked-adventure.eu.
What has happened?
Wait, this actually might be it. Stadtbad Neukölln. I wonder if this is it. I don't know if I would recognize. Oh, you know what? Actually, this does. Does this look familiar? This looks. No. No, I don't think so. This is. I don't think this is it. Anyway, all right.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we got this anecdote.
Nude
I've never
attitude.
Heard of you going on
oh,
a naked.
This link that you sent me.
Nude attitude. That's a great title for this episode.
You got a nude attitude.
Wait. So, what is this word? Freikorpskultur. What is this?
Where?
How do you?
Okay, oh, so I says, see. Oh, Freikorpskultur. I believe it means like free body culture.
Wow, cool. Freikorpskultur.
Kultur.
I don't think I've ever said a word of German.
Oh, well. I mean, these are mostly outdoors. This place was definitely indoors. Listen, if you are German and you're listening to this and this rings any bells, please let me know because...
Or balls. Does it ring your balls?
Ew!
They would be at one of these pools. The balls would be out.
Kate, gross.
Sorry.
Stop. I think we need to...
Spoken like a true American.
Yes. All right.
Let's take a break. Okay.
Before we do that, let's remind everyone that our website is forever35podcast.com. We are on Instagram at Forever35Podcast. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/Forever35. We are in the home stretch of the OC.
Good Lord, this show.
We're not traumatized at all.
It has bewitched me.
You also get product recall and our casual chats if you join our Patreon. Our newsletter is at forever35podcast.com/newsletter, and you can call or text us at 781-591-0390 and email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And now we will take a break. I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But... what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift-giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We have gifted this to many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app, you set up the Wi-Fi, boom. You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents.
Same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also like my brother has the app, so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app, so she can add photos. My parents also have it, so they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame, is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about... we have two Aura Frames in our house. I have one in my office and one in our family room. And
do they
kids
have,
love
do
it.
They have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
Ooh, that's interesting. Maybe I should get one for my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also then you're not taking up your email storage. So win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code FOREVER35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Now, look, both Dory and I love our quince items.
You might even call us quince heads.
You might. I would say you should. In fact, if you don't address us as such, we might get upset. In all seriousness, I have a variety of clothing from Quince, everything from a beautiful cashmere sweater to a very simple, easy white tee to this gorgeous pink summer dress. You can really like get your whole wardrobe filled with quality pieces at really reasonable prices. You can get organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. They even have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, which I want. Just going to announce that here. I'm coming for that jewelry.
You're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middle people and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. All right, we are switching gears and we have a bunch of kind of questions and comments from listeners about parenting, pregnancy, being childless, being childless by choice. Lots of questions, comments, thoughts. Now, if any of this is, you know, I guess a loving content warning because it's not for everybody, but we're covering a lot of ground. So stick with us.
So let's kick things off with a voicemail. Here we go.
Hey there, Kate and Dory. Very long-term listener here. Huge fan of all of your Patreon content. Thank you so much. I really appreciate having so much of your content to listen to. Anyway, I am calling with a question for the two of you as moms who are a bit further out in the motherhood journey than I am myself. I am 37 and my son is just about to turn 10 months old. And I'm wondering about how to be comfortable in a postpartum body. It's been 10 months now and I still feel like I've been run over by a truck pretty much every day. I know I should work out more, but I'm so tired. When I have a moment, I really don't want to work out. And I'm kind of a good cook, but we're all just totally in survival mode at the moment. So it's not really a time in our lives where we're like planning and cooking super healthy meals. And it's also not really about weight. I did gain weight, but I'm not hugely bothered by that. It's really just that I feel weak and achy and uncomfortable and odd. And just not really at home in my own body. So I've been wondering, does that change? Does it get better? How is it for you guys? Did you have strategies? Does it get better? Please tell me. Thank you. Bye.
Yes.
Short answer, yes.
Short answer, like, yes. It definitely, the like insanity of I think like the first year is just not something that I think is replicated. The demands change and things get complicated in other ways, but the experience of having like a completely helpless human who you have to just be taking care of all the time is that does get better. They do become more independent and autonomous creatures.
Yes. I think it takes a long time to kind of, I don't even want to say feel normal, but just kind of feel like you're emerging in the world again. And I would, if you can, like, let go of like the, I should be doing this or we should be doing that, and just figure out ways for you to kind of get through. Yes. In terms of like, I should be working out. I mean, like, no, you shouldn't. I would not put that on yourself. But also, like, I would try to reframe it as, like, could you move for 5 minutes a day? Could you stretch? Could you meditate? Like, could you do something that just kind of centers you in your body? It doesn't, like, I don't think it has to be that you're going out 5 days a week and powerlifting. I think it can really be, like, even just a walk around the block. Yeah, that's your thing. Amazing. And also just, like, a reminder that, like, we're not set up for this to be like an easy experience in any way. So it's not you.
Totally. I will say that I had kind of just started feeling quote unquote more normal when lockdown hit.
I mean, the madness of that is so wild.
Like, I stopped breastfeeding in November, but I was still pumping pretty much till Henry turned one. And so, you know, lockdown hit like 6 weeks before he turned one. And I just started like going out a little bit more with friends, kind of dipping a toe into the outside world. And then, boom.
Surprise.
Surprise. But, you know, I think that lockdown aside, it took me at least a year to feel like the brain fog was lifting a little bit. So.
Yeah, my second child when my first child was like about two. I didn't start to kind of come out of a fog until my second kid was like three.
That's a lot of foggy years.
It's a foggy year or five. You know, it's just foggy. Cause I do think like toddlers are hard. Like it's, you know, and it's always challenging being a parent, but like the kind of like getting rest and like that side of thing does come back.
Mm-hmm.
You will have time to quote unquote work out again.
Yep.
So I would just, you know, if you can give yourself a little break on like the pressure of feeling like all the things that you should be doing.
Which I fully acknowledge is easier said than done.
So much easier said than done from people who now have like, you know, Dory, your son's still like, he's almost five, but like that's still a bit of a wild time. Like my kids are, you know, now can like cook eggs on the stove without me being home.
Right. And also, you know, my son doesn't do like drop off play dates yet. Like it, right, you know, there's right. just like a lot of ways that he is still very, like he is still very young.
Yeah. He's still very dependent.
Yes. But it has gotten a lot better than, you know, from when he was one.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, I really like this question. All right, should we hear another voicemail?
I would love that.
Okay.
Hey, question. I think for Dory, but I suppose either of you could answer. When you are or were struggling with getting pregnant, did you have to deal with friends who have kids who complained about their kids a lot to you? And if so, how did you navigate that with grace? Because sometimes it's hard to listen to people complain about how hard it is to be a parent. I know it is hard to be a parent. In theory, I'm not one yet. I don't know, actually. So I empathize with them, but also it's hard to sit and listen to people complain about the thing that you want the most in the world. wondering if you had any advice. Thanks.
I am so sorry you're going through this. I have been there. I relate. It is really hard. The way I dealt with it was kind of trying to not put myself in situations where I knew I was going to be like the only non-mom in a, like in a group. Because it was just, it was too hard. And, you know, it's not fair also to tell new moms or, you know, even old moms, like, hey, I don't think it's fair to be like, hey, don't talk about your kids. Like, that's just tough. It's, you know, they should be allowed to complain. But also, it's really hard to like be on the receiving end of that, because I know what would go through my mind is like, I would love to be complaining about this, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, that's not fair to put on your friends, but it's also not great for you to be around. So it sucks, but like, I just kind of removed myself for a little while. I don't have any other like great suggestions, because, you know, I think it also, it depends on how close you are with the people. I think if it's like your best friend, I think you can just be like, hey, it's, you know what? It's really hard for me right now to listen. And I totally don't want to put you in a situation where you feel like you can't talk to me, but it's just really hard right now. And I hope, you know, at some point I can like be that friend again for you. But like right now I can't. For me, it was a lot of people who I wasn't super close with. And I would just like find myself, like if I was like at a party and I would suddenly find myself in like a group, like standing around in a group of like four moms and me.
That was the worst.
And like,
and they're all talking about.
Yeah. And I see myself doing it now.
Right. Of course.
You know?
Same.
But when you're the only one, it is a little like, this kind of sucks. So, you know, I don't know. I see you. This is really, it's such a hard place to be.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've never been in that position, so I don't really feel like I can weigh in.
Has anyone ever,
advice is sound.
Has anyone ever said anything to you? I'm having a hard time. I can't, like, have any of your friends who don't have kids ever said anything to you along those lines?
I'm trying to think of like a specific instance. I try to be conscientious of those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because also like it's, you know, it's like sitting around hearing a bunch of lawyers talk about law when you're not a lawyer. Like it's like, why don't, like also like this is just like, even if it's not like super triggering, it's also boring to sit and listen to people talk about shit that doesn't apply to you, which like we all do at times in our life, but like, you know, sometimes it's just like, oh, I don't care.
Totally.
I don't need to, you know, whatever the topic is, your favorite baseball team, I don't know, mm-hmm. whatever. But I think people, yes, people have communicated or have communicated like, it's just, I'm feeling sad about this right now. And so it's just kind of, you know, hard for me. I mean, even I think like there were times when you opted out of a couple podcast things before you, mm-hmm. like while you were in mm-hmm. IVF treatments, because it was, and I fully get that. I think that kind of, you know, that applies to so many things too. It's just being, I think it's just like having our empathy, trying to always try to turn our empathy on when we can. And we're not always perfect at knowing when something might not be comfortable for somebody mm-hmm. or might not be pleasant for somebody mm-hmm. to be like, you know, listening to. But yeah, I think communication, if you feel comfortable, is really valuable.
Totally.
And it's nice of you to give people the opportunity to try to improve in that way. Like that's a gift mm-hmm. that you would be giving people, but mm-hmm. no pressure. You don't have to give the gift. Great question. That's really hard.
Really hard.
We're going to switch gears.
Okay, let's do that.
and now just come in with a parenting tip.
Okay.
That according to this listener, it has revolutionized, all caps, their morning routine. This person wrote, we now use the time timer to tell the kids, mine are 5 and 7, and your mileage may vary, when they need to be at the table for breakfast. Then we use the timer after breakfast to tell them when they need to be ready for school so they can brush their teeth, put on socks and shoes, etc. Instead of us badgering them every step of the way while trying to get breakfast and lunch ready, they're in charge and everyone is happier. Hope this helps anyone out there who has been losing their temper before breakfast. We use the time timer all over my house. It really helps my kids.
So I
and me.
I sometimes write with this woman who has a son who is a year older than Henry, and we use the time timer when we write for like writing sprints. And she told me recently that she got a time timer, and it has like changed her life with her child in the same way that like her kid is able to now like understand. Because it makes you visualize the time, he has a better grasp of time and how long things take. And like, she just, she was just like, thank you for bringing this into my life.
The time timer is like one of the greatest inventions.
I have one sitting on my desk.
I do too.
Oh, hello.
I love it. Like, for example, one of my kids was taking very long showers. And
you were like, we live in California. You can't take really long showers.
I was like, you have to take a it has to be 3 minutes. Like we have to be like, not only do we need to be saving water, but like just, this is unnecessary. I know the pleasures of hot water blasting at you for a long period of time, but like it was getting absurd. And she brought that time timer into the bathroom and it was the only thing that helped. It was the only thing that helped. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that freaking time timer. So much more than like using your phone to time yourself. I highly recommend trying out a time timer for anything. Like it can be used for so many things.
Totally.
Thank you to the inventor of the time timer, whose name is Jan Rogers.
Thank you, Jan.
Because I'm on their website looking at Jan holding a time timer. And she's wearing an Apple Watch, but she knows.
The
time timer is what we need.
Gets it.
She gets it. Thank you, Jan. Okay. Should we do one more?
Sure.
Oh, we have time for more than one more. We could do a million.
A million. Wow.
We have two. We have two more. I think we can do the next two.
Okay. Here's an email.
Okay.
Hi, Kat and Dork. Can we talk about how lonely the first trimester is? I just found out that I'm 7 weeks pregnant and cannot be more over the moon excited. I have PCOS, so you can imagine how excited I am to know that I conceived on my own. My family also knows I struggle with PCOS, so they are not by any means pushy on asking me if I'm pregnant. For background, I just got married and my family knows we are trying. When I found out, I immediately told my husband and one of my best friends, so I only have two people who know as of right now. My first appointment / ultrasound isn't until I'm about 10 and a half weeks. How am I supposed to wait that long? I'm going crazy just wanting to know if everything is okay with the baby and want to wait until that appointment before I start telling lots of people. However, that's a very long time to wait. I so badly want to share the news early, but I'm terrified that something will go wrong and I will have to retell them some bad news. Just feeling very impatient and a little lonely while not feeling well and having to pretend like everything is normal.
This is such a tricky time and tricky thing. I mean, I think you get to do it how you want. But I understand the balance of wanting to share the news, but not wanting to have to deal with having to reshare upsetting news if things change. I understand it. I've been with you. And the other thing is, and I think, you know, our bodies oftentimes in early pregnancy, like we're having extreme reactions to being pregnant. You feel sick, you feel tired. I had a lot of bleeding in early pregnancy both times, which was scary. And then when you're not kind of telling people, you're going through these things in a really isolated way, and it's just very lonely. and it's just a strange, strange time. I mean, I don't know if I have any advice on how to get through it. I just remember, especially with my first pregnancy, just really feeling this so deeply.
So I think I have probably a unique perspective on this because I was doing a podcast about trying to get pregnant whilst trying to get pregnant. So I was bringing thousands of people along for the ride every time we did like an embryo transfer. People knew when I, you know, got the call from my doctor telling me that the transfer had worked and I was pregnant with Henry. Like they knew right away, you know, they knew that weekend.
And I knew that weekend. I was in a hotel room with
you. Yes. And at first I was sort of like, oh, this is weird. Like, yeah, you're not supposed to tell people till 12 weeks or whatever it is. But I kind of changed my mind about this. And I decided that it's not your responsibility to like take care of other people's feelings about if you lose your pregnancy. And in fact, I think that I believe it is more important to have the support of people if you, and I hope this doesn't happen, but if you lose your pregnancy. So like, to me, I think we need to challenge this idea that you shouldn't tell people until 12 weeks. Because then that just means that so many people are like suffering alone because they haven't told anyone. Whereas think about it this way. If you're like, hey, I got a positive pregnancy test. I'm only 7 weeks. So, you know, I'm a little nervous, but right now, today I'm pregnant and you tell people this. Great. They can be happy for you for 3 more weeks. And then at 10 weeks, 10 and a half weeks, when you go to the doctor, you either get to tell them, we had our first scan and like everything looks amazing. Or you have to be like, you know, I'm so sorry to, you know, but well, you know, you don't even have to say you're sorry. You can just be like, yeah, there was no heartbeat. And then they get to comfort you. And you don't have to feel so alone. So I personally feel like I've been on like a one-woman crusade for the past 6 years. And of course, everyone can make their own decision. If you don't feel comfortable doing this, you don't have to. But I wish we could normalize telling people before it is socially acceptable. Because here's the other thing. Same. A lot of people feel like shit during the first trimester. I know I did. So I was glad that I had told so many people that I felt like shit, because then I could be like, you know what? I really feel awful today. I'm not going to be able to go out or whatever. Instead of just being like, I don't feel good. You know, I'm like, and that also felt good just to be able to like be honest about that. And people were very supportive, like Kate Spencer.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. That's right. You had a lot of nausea those early.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Right? Am I remembering correctly?
Yes, yeah. I was very sick and I was taking Diclegis, which is an anti-nausea medication that also makes you like sleepy and brain foggy. So when I in my attempts to feel not nauseous, I felt very out of it.
Yes.
So
I remember this.
You know, that's just like another thing. I hope you don't feel like this, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, you can tell people. Like, and it's not, and you, like, you don't have to feel bad if the pregnancy doesn't work out because you're worried about how other people are going to feel. You can feel bad, of course, but not like, oh, I don't want to, like, let them down. That's not on you. That's on them.
Yeah, I think the question is, like, who are you trying to protect by not sharing this information? If it's yourself, great. Like, because it is, it might be too much for you to share. And then if you lose your pregnancy, have to share that. So if you're protecting totally. Yourself, okay. But if you're doing it to protect other people, and I say this as a people pleaser who's been working so hard on why she is this way and learning about other choices I could make, and it's very clunky and hard, but I do think like Dory is totally right that it's not your responsibility to manage their feelings. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to protect them in this way.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another break, Dory, and we'll come back and share our intentions for this week.
Great.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Kate, you know I've been getting into like the spring cleaning vibe.
Yeah, you have really been kind of doing a refresh, if you will.
I've been trying, but I gotta say, it's a lot more fun when you also get to do a little space refresh. So I'm talking like moving furniture around, maybe get a new piece here or there, swap out the blankets. Like I'm almost ready for my cotton blanket instead of my wool blanket.
Yes, the seasons are changing and so is your home.
Exactly. And with Jenny Kane's Elevated Home Essentials, I can get exactly what I need to create the kind of place I frankly never want to leave. Jenny Kane Home is a California brand through and through, and their interior pieces are instant classics. From their candle scents, I don't have to tell you how much I love the musk candle, and Kate, of course, is partial to the Montecito candle.
Always and forever.
Yeah. To their iconic furniture and the coziest pillows, think clean, effortless, and totally refined. Jenny Kane Home is all about the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a space that never goes out of style and always feels fresh as spring. Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code F35 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, jennikayne.com, promo code F35.
I really appreciate people asking us these questions and sharing these things.
Me too.
Thank you for doing that. Well, last week, I think I had told you I was going to throw out all my expired medication. Mm-hmm. Not only did I not do that, but last night I took a medication that was expired.
Oh, how'd it go for you?
Well, I'm still here. So good, but I mean, it was not, it was expired January 2024.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? This is fine. Right? That's fine.
I took Tylenol the other day that expired in, I want to say 2019.
Dory, no. What? No, don't do that.
But why?
I don't know, right? Because I don't think you're supposed to.
You're not supposed to, because it's not supposed to be as effective, but I don't think it will.
It's not going to hurt you.
You.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, feel free to weigh in, anyone, and tell me that I'm wrong, but like, it seemed to work.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So yeah.
Well, I would like to eventually clean out all the expired medication in my house, but I just don't think it's going to happen right now. I don't know. It's on the list. This week, I just want to have patience with myself, with my kids, with other parents that I'm dealing with life. I am an impatient person. It is a practice. And I am just trying to be more patient.
I like that.
Thank you. How about you?
Well, last week my intention was to invite people over.
Ooh.
And Henry is going to have a play date on Wednesday at our house.
Oh, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Well done, Dory. You did it.
And over the weekend I took it upon myself to do a major closet clean out of Matt's clothes.
Okay. Now, did you have to convince him to let you do this, or was he like all for it?
He was all for it. And there's various reasons why it was psychologically better for me to do it.
Sure.
And yeah. And also it, I have three like big bags of stuff that are going to be donated. I brought some stuff to my son's preschool was doing like a clothing drive this week, and I brought three smallish bags. So I was like, oh, I can't like overload. I have three like massive bags. So we'll see. But that feels good. So I'm hoping to kind of continue the momentum.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
You're really on a roll.
Thank you, Kate. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
I mean, I see you. I see you trying. I see you on it. So I see you. Well, Dory, this is the time where we thank our Patreon subscribers at the $10 level. Mm-hmm. I believe it's your turn to read names.
I believe
this
month.
And I love to sit and listen to everybody's names. I find it so fun.
We are so grateful to our Patreon supporters. You help keep the podcast going. We love talking to you in the Discord. If you want to check out what the Patreon is all about, you can do a 7-day free trial. That's at patreon.com/forever35. At the $10 level, you get ad-free episodes, which, you know, always fun. And you also get your name read on the podcast every month as a little thank you. So thank you to the following people: Amy Schnitzer, Heather Hale, Megan, Donald Brew Jr., Jen Jen, Helen DeMoy, Shelley Lee, Kim Beegler, Amelia DeCola, Sarah Jenna, Sarah Boozy, Allison Cohen, Laura, Susan Burseth, Lisette, Lynette Jones, Fran, Kelsey Wolf Donay, Alexandra Houghton, Laura Eddy, Pam from Boston, Jettel Apte, Valerie Bruneau, Jane Thoreau, Katie Quatrone, E. Jackson, Amy Machaco, Liz Rain, JDK, Hannah M., Julia Putt, Juliana DePiche, Marissa, Andrea Sepulveda, Sarah Bell, Diana, Becky Hobbs Haler, Kirsten Collins, Coco Bean, Laura Haddon, Josie Heisig, Nikki Bossert, Juliana Duff, Chelsea Torres, Angie James, Tiffany Griffith, Diane M. Martin, Emily McIntyre, Stephanie Germana, Elizabeth Anderson, Kelly Dearborn, Christine Bassis, Caroline, Jessica Gale, Jennifer Barrett, Zulema Lundy, Carrie Golds, Heather Okenka, Anne Tau Warodum, Nikki, Catherine Eligson, Kara Brugman, Cece, Sarah Agan, Jess Combin, Jennifer Olson, Jennifer H.S., Jillian Bayman, Brianne Macy, Elizabeth Holland, Karen Perelman, M. Bethany, Lisa Travis, Kate M., Emily Bruyere, Josie Alquist, Tara Todd, Elizabeth Cleary, Monica, Joanna Stone, and Beth. And thank you to our listeners who put in the pronunciation of their names in their patron names. We really appreciate that.
We do. Thank you. I also, in my head, I'm doing a bit where Kim Kardashian subscribes to the podcast and we read her name.
Oh, that would be funny.
Or just any celebrity whose name would make you chuckle in that list.
Totally. Or someone who is not a celebrity could put in a celebrity's name as name.
Or what if like somebody from our past who we haven't seen for 15 years, but you met on a surf trip 15 years ago, subscribes and then you see their name.
That would be so funny. Well, on that note, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager and our network partners in cast. Thanks everyone so much.
Bye.